Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. We're on Shabbos Yud Zayin, Shabbos 17b, pagination page 34, at the Mishnah, which is about 12 lines from the bottom. Masnisin. We're dealing with cases where a person sets something into motion before Shabbos, and the result is that it will continue doing malacha on Shabbos, but it's not clearly attributable to him. And there are a number of factors that have to be considered. One issue, which is the biggest one over here, is something called shevisas kelim, that the vessels that you own, according to Beis Shammai, are supposed to be inactive on Shabbos. Your vessels, things you own, are not supposed to be working on Shabbos. Just as there's a restriction that your servant is not allowed to work on Shabbos, your ox is not allowed to work on Shabbos, obviously you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, so your kelim, according to Beis Shammai, are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos either. Another factor would be if you would give something entrusted to a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. What would the halacha be? He's doing it for you, but he's doing it on Shabbos, but he's doing it on his own time, in his own location. Does that play a factor? We're also going to see that even Beis Hillel, who does not agree with Shevisas Kelim, doesn't agree that your vessels have to be at rest, but he does agree that there may be other factors. One of them, for example, is Hashmo'as Kol. If the thing that's working is making too much noise, and it's Avsha Milsa, it's a disgrace to Shabbos, so then that would be restricted. And also, if the thing that's going on Shabbos is going to lure you, possibly, into doing a malacha, such as a pot that's cooking, and we're worried you're going to stoke the flame or adjust the flame in some way to make it cook better, so that would also perhaps have restrictions. The way we get around it is with the blech. We have ways of making it clear that we don't intend to do any cooking, and we're just keeping the thing warm. But even if you don't hold of Shevisas Kelim, there may be other factors. So let's begin the Mishnah and stick with the original cases. Beis Shammai Yomer, Beis Shammai say, Ain shodin diyovis salmonim vikarshinim. You're not allowed to soak ink, dye, or vetch. Vetch was a bean that they used to soak to make it edible for the animals. You're not allowed to soak these things because simply soaking them, even without doing anything else, just letting them soak is a malacha. Ela kadesh sheyishodin mibeod yom, unless they would have already soaked while it's still Friday, before Shabbos begins. Beis Hillel matirim, and Beis Hillel says there's nothing wrong as long as you put it in to soak before Shabbos begins. On the topic of soaking, a similar example would be to throw a dirty cloth into water. It's going to soak. It's also a malacha, maybe a different malacha than the one discussed here. It's a malacha of cleansing it. But also, it cleanses it on its own, just sitting there, just soaking there. We have this concept even today's washing machines. It's called pre-wash. It just sits in the water. It loosens the dirt. It's part of the process. It's something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You are allowed to do before Shabbos, according to Beis Hillel, which is the way we paskin. But Beis Shammai, who holds of Shevisas Kelim, holds that you're not allowed to do that even before Shabbos because the malacha will be continuing on Shabbos in your vessels. Beis Shammai omrim, Beis Shammai say, Ein nosdim unin shel pishtan l'soch hatanur. You're not allowed to put bundles of flax into an oven, ela kadei sheyavhilu mibeod yom, unless the process of processing them, drying them out, will occur by day and not happen on Shabbos. And similarly, you're not allowed to put wool into the vat, unless it will acquire the dye before Shabbos begins. Vesil says no problem, as long as you put the process into motion while it's still pre-Shabbos. Beishamei Omrim, a third case of this series, Ein Porsim Mitzudas Chayev Va'Ofos V'Dogim, you can't spread traps for animals, birds, or fish, Ela Kadesh Yitzodim Ba'od Yom, unless it'll catch it while it's still day, Uveisilo Matirim, and Beisilo says, as long as you set it into motion, you set the trap before Shabbos, I don't care what the inanimate objects are doing on Shabbos on your behalf. I mean, he says it's not attributable to you. Now, just to get our bearings here, very fascinating. The first case was soaking the ink, dye, or vetch so that the object we're putting in to soak, should meld, should become whatever it needs to become. The next case was that the flax should dry out. We're using our vessel, in this case the oven, to act upon an outside thing that's being introduced, to do something to it. And the third case is that the trap should affect something that when we set it is actually external. Mm-hmm. It's going to make it into the trap, but you're setting something up that's going to take something from the outside and lock it in place. Let's continue with the case of Nanju. Beishamei Omrim, Beishamei says, first wide line, Emochrim lenochri, you're not allowed to sell something to a Nanju, ve'in to'anen imo, you're not allowed to load it onto him, the load, ve'in magbiyim alav, or lift it, ele kadesh yagil lemakom karov, unless he can reach a close place. There's obviously a concern that it's going to be obvious that he's carrying something on Shabbos, seemingly on your behalf, ve'sila matirim, as long as you get him out before Shabbos. This is a very, very applicable case. You're not allowed to entrust work to a non-Jew unless he can do it while it's still day. And in all of them, Beis Hillel allows it as long as you took care of it before Shabbos. Makes no difference to us when he actually does it. Amr Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says an example of stringency. Noagim hayu beis avo, they used to have the custom, shayunostim kli lavan lekoves nochri shloshu yavi kodim laShabbos, white garments were used to give 3 days before Shabbos, so that there would be plenty of time. White garments were apparently hard to do, to clean, and we gave them 3 days before, in order that there should be plenty of time for the non-Jew to do the work before Shabbos. V'shavim elu v'elu, and everyone agrees, v'shamei b'shilol, sh'toanim kores b'sabad v'gulei hagas, after grapes or olives are pressed, they then put them into a weight to push out more of the juice, and that you're allowed to do right before Shabbos, even according to b'shamei, because the original pressing was already done, and whatever comes out now is not a biblical violation, even if you would have done it on Shabbos. And therefore there's no legislation against it to do it before Shabbos and to allow it to go on Shabbos. It's not biblical. There's no legislation. Mishnah says you're allowed to do it. Okay. Now, let's just summarize what we're going to take out of this. Beis Hillel hold that Shevisas Kelim is not an issue. So on all these cases, as long as you did it before Shabbos and you set it into motion, it's going to be permitted. This is the reason that, bottom line, we allow timers, at least for some things. You may not be allowed to run your factory on timers, but the air conditioner, the light, there are things that our custom is to allow timers. That's all because of this. Person sets his answering machine on high volume before Shabbos because he's got an issue. Wants to know if a close family member that's in the hospital needs personal attention. So he has his thing, he set it into motion, he's put it in place, and like this, he's going to get phone calls. Obviously, he's going to be getting phone calls not only from the hospital, he's going to be getting other phone calls on Shabbos also. His answering machine is going to go on. Mm-hmm. All of this, it's set before Shabbos. The end of the Mishnah regarding a non-Jew told us that according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to entrust something to a non-Jew to do work, but as we'll see, you're not allowed to tell him to do it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do anything that infers that he must do it on Shabbos, such as, I intend to pick it up right after Shabbos. Can't give him a pair of shoes to repair, a car to repair, etc., in a way that will clearly require him to do it on Shabbos. But if he's not required to do it on Shabbos, it's a concept of kavlonus. Kavlonus means he's a contractor. He works on his own time. He's not being paid by the hour. He does his own job, returns it to me when he's finished. And in that case, he's working for himself and not for me. Take a look at Taisvis, the bottom Taisvis, the titled Ein. And then on the first line of that Taisvis, Mikano Yanira L'Rabbeinu Tam, that's where Rabbeinu Tam came up with a ruling, which obviously sometimes does apply, Lahater Ayide Kavlonos Nachri Livnos B'Shabbos, to build a house on Shabbos if the non-Jew is the contractor. There are obviously different conditions. If it's done in the area of Jews, and someone might think that he's being paid by the hour, there are all kinds of conditions, but this is where the leniency, the loophole, begins. It starts because he's not working for you. He's working for himself. His job is to return a built home to you. How he does it, when he does it, is not my problem. You'll take a look on the next Amud. The fifth line in smaller print is Tosfos Yeshanim, a different edition of Tosfos that's incorporated in ours. He says, Umi ubesada mutter, by a field. Are you allowed to have a non-Jew working your field? He says, the besada regilus lasos ba'arisus. It's normal to entrust a field as a sharecropper, a percentage deal, so that the non-Jew is working on his own time, and he's going to owe me a percentage of the produce. For lo beschirus yom, he's not being paid by the hour, by the day, and therefore it should be permitted if that's the local culture. It's understood that he's working for himself. Mm-hmm. But if he does it for you, so then this is always a big factor, the last words of Tosfos Yeshanim, which we have to always keep in mind, Nachri shehidlik ner b'shvil Yisrael, if he lights a candle for you, also leheshtamesh le'oro, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Likewise, if he clearly did the item for you, there's going to be restriction because we're worried that you're going to ask him to do it on Shabbos and get involved with such a thing. So if it's clearly done for you, he clearly did it on Shabbos, mm-hmm. there is going to be a restriction. But again, to entrust it to him before Shabbos, he chooses to do it on Shabbos and returns it to me in a way that there was plenty of time for him to have a choice to do it. Sunday, Monday, that would be permitted. Yeshikoah, have a wonderful day.